Riggs Radio Sport.
Welcome on to Saturday Sport Classified for Saturday, November the 8th. Simon Quine with you here on Manx Radio AM and Manx Radio DAB. It is these classified results. Tony Beckham joining me in the studio to look at football. Ben Cunningham will be here to look at hockey, and Dave Christian as well joining me to look at all of the rugby. Particularly busy day in rugby. Plenty of results to Dave to get into. Also looking ahead to the FC Isle of Man Pilkington game in the North West Counties Football League Premier Division. That game will get underway at 6 o'clock at the Bowl this evening. We've got the squad news in. Hopefully have team news as well for the starting 11 by 5:30. As soon as we have that, we will of course bring it to you here on Saturday Sport on Manx Radio. And as always, we start off with a look at the classified results, and beginning with football in the Canada Life Men's Premier League. Onchan 3, Douglas High School Old Boys 3, St John's 0, Peel 3, St Mary's 8, Foxdale 0, Ramsey 3, Braddon 3, Ayr United 2, Union Mills 1, Russian United 0, Corinthians 7. Moving on to Arden and Drogon Limited Division 2. The match between Moraine and Douglas Royal was postponed due to the pitch. We don't have a result for St George's against Governors Athletic. If you've got any details on that, 166-177 on text, or 07624-166-177 on WhatsApp. Paul Rose United 1, Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys 1, Castletown 2, Maloo 1. Colby 6, Douglas and District 1, Canada Life Combination 1, Douglas High School Old Boys 3, Onchan 3, Peel 3, St John's United 0. The game between Foxdale and St Mary's was postponed due to the pitch. Braddon 0, Ramsey 3, also a postponement between Union Mills and United. Again, that was the pitch, the issue there. And Corinthians 4, Russian United 3. Arden and Drogon Limited Combination 2. We begin with a postponement between Douglas Royal and Moraine. Once again, the pitch was not fit there. Douglas and District 2, Douglas and District 2, Douglas Athletic 15. Governors Athletic against St George's was postponed and awarded a home win to Governors Athletic. Further postponements, Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys against Paul Rose United and Maloo against Castletown. And the final result in Arden and Drogon Limited Combination 2, Jims 2, Colby 3. Moving on to rugby, and in Regional 2 North West, Douglas 31, Vale of Loon 8. The Counties 3, ADM Lancs and Cheshire, Hoylake 19, Vagabonds 19 and Fleetwood 52, Ramsey 0. Women's NC2 North South, Vagabonds Ladies 29, Winnington Park 34, and the Hartford Homes Manx Shield, Douglas Celts 42, Western Vikings 12. There was an additional friendly played today between Southern Nomads and the Vale of Loon, third choice 15. That finished Southern Nomads 47, Vale of Loon third 15, 31. And in hockey, mixed Premier League, Vikings A 6, Vikings B 0. We're awaiting a result between Backers A and Harlequins A, 166-177 if you've got those details. Castletown Southerners 1, Backers B 5. Again, awaiting a result between Valkyries A and Castletown Celts. As we move on to mixed Division 1, Valkyries C 1, Backers C 8. No details of Vikings C against Ramsey A or Harlequins B against Valkyries B. Mixed Division 2, Vikings D 10, Ramsey Ravens 0. Backers Mixed Colts 7, Castletown Cosney 1. Castletown Cushags 1, Castletown Camags 3. Mixed Division 3, Castletown Carrick 1, Ramsey Rookies 2. And Valkyries D 3, Harlequins 0. Again, waiting details, should have these shortly for Harlequins D against Vikings E. As we move to the Mixed Under-15s League, Harlequins 1, Valkyries 5, and Ramsey Rogan Rascals 0, Castletown Sharks 10. And again, should have details shortly of Castletown Sabres against Backers. That was the 25-4 game this afternoon. Right, let's turn our attention back to football then, and Tony Meppham joining me in the studio. And Tony, we'll start off at the game you were at for us this afternoon, Russian against Corinthians, a big win for the league leaders.
Certainly was a big win, and the way I look at it is that first half, because I think it was the story of where the game could have gone and where it didn't go, because Corinthians led at half time. I think it was 3-0. But it could have quite easily, because Corinthians scored, I think, 45th minute, the third goal. It could have been quite easily 2-2, because Russian had some really good chances. But, the goalkeeper saved them, and, one or two sort of close misses. But, You know, the Corinthians just, it was a really good game, I thought, to watch in that first half, but the second half was totally one-sided. Corinthians dominant in it. You could put it down to fitness if you want to, or you could put it down to just Corinthians stepping up a gear. But my word, there's some really good young players coming through for both teams. And I thought Joe Kelly did really well in that first half for Rushen. He caused all sorts of problems down that left-hand side. Morgan Naylor did well on it. But, you know, he's got ability, Joe, and he was getting the balls in. But just nobody there to pick it up. But it was two goals for Josh Ridings, two for Dan Simpson. Connor Clark got one. He was a pain all afternoon. Even went off for a substitute and then came back on again and, you know, was full of it. Ben Ramsey, the second-half substitute, came off the bench and he scored as well, scored a belter. But an own goal was thrown in that as well. But the person I felt really sorry for was Ryan Nelson. Ryan Nelson's granddad, Eric Nelson, now people will know that name, over 1,000 appearances for Rushen, and I was there and watched him make his 1,000th appearance, and that must be over 10 years ago, maybe a bit longer, to be fair. And to see his grandson play against his beloved club must have hurt. But I thought Ryan changed things dramatically when he came on. He was an absolute pain. He's everywhere. He's got so much ability. He's just runs and runs and runs. He's got pace. He's got everything. And he can play anywhere. He can play up front, midfield. He can even play at the back. But you know, just all round, you know, I have to compliment, I know it's my club, but I have to compliment, you know, young players like Ben Ramsey, Connor Clark, you've got Ryan Nelson in there, but, you know, Bevan Colley at the back, he's playing way above where he should be at sort of 17 years of age. And I don't know how many times I was asked who's the number six in the midfield, Declan Blake. He was absolutely brilliant. So it was great to see that youth and experience coming through. But, you know, Rushen will feel disappointed that they didn't finish their chances, certainly in the first half. But in the second half, you know, again, another couple of good saves by Matthew Quirk. But they just weren't as good, Rushen, in the second half as they were in the first. So a deserved victory. I think that's been coming, to be fair, because since the injury to Sean Doyle, they haven't been quite right up front. And I think the, not necessarily the game plan is to use Sean. Yes, you would. But to three at the back, they look so much better with Darren Kane on the left-hand side. Then you've got Stewie Smith in that middle who cements everything. Bevan Colley you've got. And then on the right-hand side, Morgan Naylor. It just works. And then when you've got probably one of the best goalkeepers on the island, Matthew Quirk and Sticks, it's going to be difficult to break it down. But if I was a Rushen supporter, I wouldn't be disheartened because they come across a really good side today. They played well. And, you know, Rushen will look at it now and just be doing the calculations. Can they qualify for this Railway Cup or can they not? We'll have a look at the league table at the end of it. But, you know, well done to Corinthians. Great victory.
OK, we'll go back up to the...
And sorry, well done to Nick Cowell. I've got the referee. He was absolutely outstanding. I've got one mark for him, but that was a penalty. It was a penalty for Ryan Nelson. There's no doubt about it. Everyone said that's a penalty, but he didn't give it. But fair enough. I wouldn't say it was a mistake. He couldn't see it. But I had a clear thing of it. But he could have scored against his granddad's old club, so he's taken that away from him. But no, Nick's quality. That's his second Premiership game, and credit to him. Absolutely outstanding.
That's great to hear. We'll go back up to the top of the sheet. High-scoring game between Onklin and Douglas High School All Boys. Finished 3-3 and an opportunity perhaps missed there for Onklin to close the gap on the league leaders, Corinthians.
Yeah, it is, because Onklin are chipping away at the top, aren't they, as well, for Railway Cup qualification. When you look at it now, Onklin have only got one to play for the 12. And that game's against Laxey, I think, next week. So you don't see it sort of coming, really. But today, I don't know how the scoring went. I don't know the scorers. So if someone could text us through, please. 166-177. But no, great victory, or should I say, great result for both clubs. But you know, Douglas High School old boys are just looking down at that table. And with Braddon sort of getting points as well, it's just not really worked out for old boys. But hey, that's a fair result against Duncan.
You've just mentioned Braddon there, both old boys, and Braddon's getting a point today. Braddon against Ramsey. Braddon 3, Ramsey 3. They could both be big points at the end of the season, particularly for old boys getting a point off, you know, a team in the top half of the table.
Massive, Simon, because I always say if you're going to stay up, you need to beat the teams around you, take the points off them, and then try and pick a bonus point up somewhere along the line, or three, by beating one of the top sides. And probably, you know, one that you look at was Foxdale against Duncan, where they drew. that could be a huge point that for Foxdale against one of the top sides. So bonus, get in there. But you know, Braddon and Old Boys and Foxdale, I think they're going to be the three teams involved. I know Braddon have gained a little bit on Union Mills today, but I think Union Mills are too strong to get dragged into that sort of relegation battle.
OK, we will move on to St John's nil, Peel 3, keeping the pace on the top of the table, Peel.
Yeah, it is, and I've got a match report on this one, and, you know, let's get it in if we can. And, you know, it's really good to see sort of a team like St John's having a go at Peel today, but it didn't happen for them. And thanks to Dean Turton once again for writing this match report out. And full-time at Molney Cloy, and it's Peel who take the points in the Western Derby, running out 3-0 winners over St John's. St John's began on the front foot, Dean Leeson, Rhys Oates linking up well down the left, while Callum Taggart went close to breaking the deadlock. But again, the run of play, Peel struck first 10 minutes before the break. A corner from Taylor Andrews was whipped into the box and cleared only for a Dan Pickering, who was left unmarked, to lash his shot out the underside of the bar and in from the edge of the box. The home side had bossed the opening half hour, but went in at the break trailing. Just after the restart, Peel doubled their lead in the bizarre fashion. Dan Bell, who changed the game last week for Peel, hit one from distance. It took a wicked deflection of Joe Savage's outstretched leg and looped over Rice's into the net from 25 yards out. A slice of fortune for Peel, but one that gave them control of the game. Injuries then came in for St John's. Andrew Chadwick got injured, Sam Ingham got injured. Dean Lees as well then disrupted St John's rhythm, and Peel began to dominate possession. The third arrived late on when young Oscar Bignall for Peel delivered a teasing cross from the right, and fellow substitute Ben Woodbridge powered in a header to wrap it up. St John's will feel hard done by after a strong first half, but Peel's clinical edge and composure make them worthy winners and keep their Railway Cup hopes alive.
OK, and we move on to the early game at the Bowl this afternoon, a quarter to two kick-off between St Mary's and Foxdale. Finished St Mary's 8, Foxdale 0.
Yeah, and St Mary's led at half-time 3-0. It was Chris Asbridge in great form today. He got a hat-trick, Simon. Mark Wolfenden got a hat-trick as well. Morgan Beckley, rare one, because Morgan's a defender. And Therese Thompson, who's must be close to being top scorer for St Mary's because he scored quite a few this season. But comfortable victory in the end. 5 in the second half, 3 in the first, 8-0.
And we touched on this one already, but finished Ramsey 3, Braddon 3.
Yeah, and it was... we've got a bit of report mm-hmm. on this one, and I've got to be clever with this because I don't want to give any names away. But Ramsey 3, Braddon 3. Matthew Jones, he got two of the Ramsey goals. One was from the penalty spot. The other one was Jack Gilbert. Well done, Jack. Make your dad proud. Nick Harvey, again on the score sheet for Braddon. Dan Kinraid scored from the penalty spot. And Charlie Knight. And what's more impressive, Braddon were 3-0 down at one stage of this game, so to get three goals back is really good. OK, report in. Three sin bins and a red card today for abusive language. All for Ramsey, it says here. The referee's come back from 6 months off. You know, he's just looking at the descent was horrendous. I'm now in the mindset to give up the whistle completely. I won't name the referee. You'll be able to suss it out who it is by looking at the appointments. But this is what we're dealing with at the FA, Simon. Mm-hmm. You know, people are saying, well, look at it today. You got no referees. And this is why. And this is why people aren't coming into the game. This is why people are walking away from the game. It's in your control, players, most of it, because there are guys out there who I think would take up the whistle, but they just feel that, why would I want to get paid a small amount of money, go through the training courses and then be abused for 90 minutes. Now, we don't want it to be, you know, sort of one of those games where no one can pass comment or whatever. But just, you know, the guys on the park, you're in control. And you know, if you're going to step out of line, you're going to be dealt with. The guys outside, just remember that we're all adults. We're all there to enjoy a game of football. We all want to shout for our teams. But try and do it in a way where you're not going to accept too many people because... you know, the Alamam and FA have had a tough time lately. And we've even, I'm going to say it, we've lost a member of staff this week, maybe because of a bit of this as well. People posting stuff on Facebook and stuff. That's not on, Simon. Mm-hmm. rant over.
I think, you know, it's not just an Isle of Man problem. We know that. You see a lot from the English FA as well and the wider football community. But we've run a story this week about getting, you know, young people into refereeing. It can be, as you know, a pressured environment. People get very passionate about things. But, you know, you're never going to encourage that generation, that next generation, to step into it if this is what they're going to have to deal with on the pitch.
I think, to be fair, let's have a look at the junior referees coming in. It's not been too bad, because I think it's a brilliant idea, whoever it was, I think it was the English FA, is they wear like this yellow armband under 18s. And I think the older people respect the young lads. They're giving up their time. They've got to learn. It's like any job. You have to learn how to do things. You're going to make mistakes. Anyone who doesn't make a mistake every single day ain't sort of trying hard enough, because it sort of happens. But it's these senior players, you know, and the middle sort or players who sort of pack in playing football, who are the ones we want to tap into because they know the game, they can come into refereeing quickly, is they don't want to come in because they're just going to get abused, and they then feel, well, I'm going to answer back and I'm going to get my own self in trouble. So, you know, we're in a real difficult position. The referees are always in control. They've got the cards. They can dish it out. They don't want to dish them out unnecessarily, because it costs them money because they get fined. But don't be complaining at the FA, because you're in control as well of your behaviour. And just calm everything down. And let's, without the officials, we don't have a game of football. And there are some real top young lads coming through. And not even young lads. Nick Cowell, one. When I look at Sam Palmer, two. I look at Adam Hudson, three. Jim Gale, when he comes back from injury, four. They're all sort of a nice age where you want them in there. And new referees, and I'm looking at Nick Cowell and also Adam Hutchin. They're absolutely flying, which is great to see.
Okay, all right, thanks, Tony. We move on to Ayr United against Union Mills. It was a home win for Ayr United, 2-1 in the end.
Yeah, it was. And Union Mills, Lewis Hicks got the goal for the Millers. But Jamie Callister, he got one. And Sean Kelly got one. I know a couple of people have said to me, Jamie Callister got a red card last week. How come he's allowed to play? The red card has been taken away. There was an issue. There was video evidence, and you know, it's sort of been sorted out. Everyone is happy enough with it, all comfortable, official, the FA, so there's no problem. But if you're questioning that they played an ineligible player, they haven't.
Okay, move on to Arden and Drogon Limited Division 2, and this is where the postponements start to hit. First of all, Moran against Douglas Royal, that game will be rescheduled. That was an issue with the pitch at Moran, we believe.
Yes, it was. It's a low table there, and when you think of it, what was it the week before they shifted? Whatever, hundreds of gallons of water off it. Just too much to do this morning.
St George's against Cousins Athletic. We still have no details on this. 166, 177, if you were there. You thought this was postponed. I drove past on Guncrutchy Road before, and they were definitely playing at St George's. Now, whether it was that game or not is a different matter, but if someone can give us that result, 166, 177. Paul Rose United against Ramsey Youth Centre, 1-1.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, this was always going to be a close game. When you look at the league table, they were always going to have battle it out. And you could tell the two goals scored 61 minutes. That was Ramsey Youth Centre, 63 for Paul Rose. Dylan O'Reilly got the goal for Ramsey Youth Centre. And Old Boys for Paul Rose. Great player he is. Nathan Holsall, he got the equaliser. And Andy Glover was the referee. And I've been asked to say from Paul Rose, he was excellent. Full marks. Handled the game really well. And, you know, both sets of players respected him. And that's what we want to hear. So well done to the two clubs, and also well done to Andy.
OK, Southern Derby next in Arden Drogon Limited Division 2. Castletown, the victors 2-1 against Maloon.
Yeah, tighter than I thought. But, you know, the game was a good battle. We'll have a look at the goal scorers first. Ross Crawford and Harry Hinks. Patrick Thurwell got the goal for Maloo, and I've got a match report. Both teams started strong, and it was Castletown that broke the deadlock after 10 minutes. Beautiful one-touch football to find Ross Crawford. Maloo didn't allow their heads to drop and got their just rewards with Patrick Thurwell beating Castletown's keeper on the 33rd minute from three. Although 3 minutes later, Castletown got a corner that glided into the box for Harry Hinks to score, giving Gandy no chance of saving. And that's how the first half finished, with Castletown going in the happiest. The second half started and mainly stayed with Maloo being the stronger team, but they couldn't find that goal that they were looking for. Miss of the day must go to Castletown when Gandy failed to save the ball, and then three Castletown players failed to pull it back and have a go at goal. from a couple of yards out, but Castletown finished the game with all 3 points in the Southern Derby, and Castletown remained top of the table.
And just below Castletown, second place in the Division 2 table at the moment, are Colby, who were 6-1 winners against Duggleton District.
Yeah, they got to keep just winning, that's all they do. And, you know, the goals as well, difference. 4-0 up at half-time, Colby were. Man of today, Carl Hickey, he got a hat-trick. Jordan Edge on the score sheet again. Tom Walton got one, and Kieran Smith. For Duggleton District, it was an own goal. But a couple of remarkable sort of achievements today. Paul Gavin, that's his 200th game for D&D. So well done to him. And also, it's his 50th consecutive game, which, you know, as you get a little bit older, that can get a bit harder. But he's done well on that one. I'm just seeing if we can find a little bit of a report at the end. Yeah, also, Will Gavin, the goalkeeper, who came on at half-time as a substitute for his first competitive game since February after injury. So good day for D&D all around. But, you know, certainly today it was tough going against one of the top sides in Colby.
And we move on to Canada Life Combination 1 and, a replica of the first team result, Douglas High School Boys 3, Onken 3.
Yeah, and I haven't got Onken's goal scorers, but it was 2-1 to Old Boys at half-time. Jack Adams, he's a good young player. He got one of the goals for Old Boys. Cal Yates as well. I'm sure Grandad Mickey and Dad were really happy on that one. That's Gary. They're always there watching the old grandson and son playing, so he got a goal, well done. And Dean France it was who got the other one. So point shared, probably out of that one, Old Boys will be the happier of the two sides.
And a good win in the Western Derby for Peel, just keeping themselves in touch with the top half of the table, 3-0 against St John's.
Yeah, I think St John's were hoping to capitalise today on a weaker Peel combination side because they'd raided a couple of players with Thomas Brown and also Jason Charmer not being available. But Billy Kenyuk, who's really a first-team player, he got one of the goals. Lee Hardman got one. And Toby Little, who's been scoring plenty of goals. And a big, big thank you to referee, stand-in referee, Connor Keenan. Excellent job, Connor. Well done. You know, allowing the boys to have a game of football. It was great. Came in as auxiliary referee and put in a really good performance as well.
Okay, the game between Foxhill and St Mary's postponed. Again, that was issues with their pitch. Braddon nil, Ramsey 3.
Yeah, haven't got any Ramsey scorers. If you have, Simon, I can
no,
just
I've
check
had
in
no
on that
No more details
one.
Than you have on that one, Tony.
No, nothing in. I've got I've got the first team scorers for Onken. Thanks, Dave, David Rees. Tom Creer got one, an own goal. Ethan Lever's got the other one. And Onken Combi. We're gone through that one, and it was Ozzie Moore. Luke got one. I'll have to check who Luke's surname was. And Tom Lancaster got the other one. But thanks for that. But I haven't got Ramsey scorers.
Okay, also postponed due to the pitch was Union Mills and Air United. And the final game in combination one sounds like a tight game between Corinthians and Russian. 4-3 to Corinthians, the final score.
Yeah, it is. And you haven't got the league tables in front of you, but I have. This morning, Russian had played 9 for 20 top. Ramsey had played 8 for 20, was second, and Corinthians had played 8 for 18. Well, that's a great result for Corinthians, and Corinthians are 1-0 down at half-time. Haven't got Russians' goal scorers, but for Corinthians, it was Adam McCulloch with a hat-trick. Well done, Adam. Caleb Hugill got the other one. So we haven't got, obviously, Ramsey scorers, but we know they go on 23 points now, so they go top of the table. Corinthians will go second on 21, and now Russian slip two places down into third with 20, and they've all played... No, they haven't. Russian have played 10 now. Ramsey have played 9, and Corinthians have played 9.
OK, move on to Arden and Druggan. Combination 2. Postponement between Douglas Royal and Maroun, and then we come on to Douglas and District against Douglas Athletic. Big win for Douglas Athletic. 15-2, the victors today. There.
Yeah, yeah. We'll leave that way. Well, as I say... I think everyone's having a say about Douglas Athletic, but Douglas and District's goal scorers were Dylan Lees and Jack Matthews, is it? I think was the other one. Both 16 years of age, both first goals, which is absolutely fantastic. And as we touched on before, Will Gavin, the goalkeeper, coming on and after not playing since February and doing a really good job. So it's great to see him. But Douglas Athletic were 10-1 up at half-time, but we haven't got the scorers.
Okay, postponement between Doug, Governors Athletic and St George's. That's been awarded a home win to Governors Athletic. Further postponements, Ramsey Youth Centre Old Boys against Paul Rose United and also Malou against Castletown. So the final game on the programme, Jim's 2, Colby 3.
Yeah, and I haven't got Jim's goal scorers, but for Colby, it was Jack Skillicorn with 2 and Eden, Ludgate, I think that's Jimmy's young fella, got that goal. But yeah, good result for Colby. Keeps the sort of pressure on a little bit, but mid-table, still got quite a bit of work to do. But you know, I think we've done well today, Simon, getting the games played that we did.
And just on that tone, we mentioned we're going to look a quick look at the Canada Life Premier League. We didn't get to it when we were running through the scores there, so we'll just do that now. As it stands, Corinthians top on 27 points, Onchan second with 21. Both those teams haven't played 11. Peel and Laxey both played 9, both on 20 points, and then Russian having played 10 on 19 points.
Yeah, we're coming up. I think next week is the final set of fixtures for the first half of the season. Going to have a look at it over the weekend, and we're going to have to tweak with that week 14 games, but there's a damage limitation on it. I think there's only going to be one team at the moment that are going to miss out on a game of football, but I'm going to have to change the fixtures to try and get the Railway Cup games played, so we know who the four are going to be. We don't want to lose that one. So after this weekend, we'll get in touch with the clubs and let them know what we're going to do.
Okay, Tony, you do have some more duties to go and do for us this evening down at the Bowl. Before I let you go, we'll just have a quick preview off that game between FC Isle of Man and Pilkington. We did get the squad news about an hour or so ago. I haven't as yet got the confirmed starting 11, but I haven't had a chance to speak to you, Tony, since Rick Holden's come in. And looking at this sort of change of form, unbeaten in 5. Now, I know the home wins are probably what the fans want to see down at the Bowl, but no doubt they're a bit tighter. They're not conceding quite as many in this. They seem to be able to sort of grab a draw or grab a win late in the game now.
Yeah, I think it's really good to see, and I'm looking forward to tonight's game because, you know, the other ones, it was a bit hard to take, really, because you want them to win every game. And you just look at it and it drags you down, and you just don't want to see it. You see the hurt for the players. You see the hurt for the supporters. But looking at the squad, Adam Adebayo is in, Sam Baines, Harry Best, Mark Blair, Luke Booth, Josh Kane, Carl Clark, Danny Gerrard, Charlie Higgins, Jan Marquez, Joe Middleton, Dean Pinnington, Callum Sherry, Kyle Watson, Ben Wilkinson and Steve Whitley. Now, as you've just said, you know, keeping things sort of nice and tight at the back, it's so, so important. And, you know, and I'm looking at that team there and I'm not seeing Alex Maitland's name in there. So that's going to be a big loss because he's near enough the ever-present centre-back. So what he's going to do there, Sam Baines, I think, will play alongside Carl Clark. I think on the right-hand side, Callum Sherry will play there. And on the left-hand side will be Josh Kane. Steve Whitley will play right midfield. You know, the centre midfield, it'll be up to, you know, whatever they want to do. He can even play Luke Booth at right fullback if he wanted. But Charlie Higgins will start. There's no doubt about that. Dean Pinnington will be alongside him, possibly in that centre midfield. Kyle Watson will be somewhere around there as well. And then when you look Joe Middleton, it'll just depend on what Rick's going to do. But I think Rick has steadied the ship, got confidence back in the team. Paul Jones had done nothing wrong. It just went against him. Players' heads dropped and results weren't coming. But Rick has certainly got the boys bouncing, and let's hope for a good crowd. Good performance from them tonight, get marching on again. And hopefully it all starts to gather momentum for FC Isle of Man, because they need to get some points to get out of that sort of part of the league that they're in. It doesn't look good. You want to get out of it. You know, Christmas coming, being safe and enjoy a glut of games that will come through.
I mean, they're clear. I think it's 5 points maybe clear of the drop zone now, but it can change quickly in that division. We've seen that before, haven't we? How quickly they've climbed out with a run of 3 or 4 good results. You can easily get back in with 2 bad results there, can't you? You know,
definitely, Simon. But if you have a look at the teams around them, they've played a lot less games. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the team below them has played 3 less, maybe 4. And the team above, I think, is a couple. But, you know, that won't bother, you know, sort of games played. You know, you want to keep going when you're on this run. And, you know, Rick has got his own plan. He knows what to do. It's quite interesting. A couple of people said to me today, what's changed it a little bit? I think, you know, sort of Rick does it simple. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he loves the wingers, getting the wingers in and stuff like that. So, you know, like when you look at Danny Gerrard, he was playing for Corinthians today. Or should have done, But he was pulled out of the team last night because FC Alaman needed it. So I don't know what happens, whether a player's sick or injured or whatever. But yeah, it'd be really nice because I might celebrate with a beer afterwards, actually, to be honest with you, to drown this cold and also celebrate just FC Alaman getting back on because it gets that feel-good factor back into the team.
Okay, before I let you go, Tex, I do know kickoff's only 29 minutes. We have got the starting 11 here, and you've pretty much called it there. It's Mark Blair, Kyle Watson, Josh Kane, Sam Baines, Carl Clark, Jan Marquez, Steve Whitley wears the captain's armband in the middle, Dean Pinnington, Adam Adebayi, Luke Booth and Charlie Higgins on the bench, Joe Middleton, Callum Sherry, Harry Best, Danny Gerrard and Ben Wilkinson.
Yes, only surprise is probably Callum Sherry, his pace and everything else about it. But whether Callum's under the weather or not been training or whatever, I'm not too sure. But, you know, I wish them well. It'd be great to have a win after this good set of results that they've had at home in front of a home base crowd. And I'm sure the fans, the conspiracy as they're called, down there will certainly be making a lot of noise.
All right, Tony, thank you very much. That game against Pilkington gets underway at the Bowl, 6 o'clock this evening. Darren Timpson, Tony Meppham with full commentary here on Manx Radio AM 1368 and Manx Radio AM on DAB. 28 minutes away from 6 o'clock. We'll talk rugby next with Dave Christian.
Manx Radio Sport.
And it was a busy day for our local rugby today, including a game we didn't even have on the programme. And Dave Christian joins me with full details of all of those. Good evening, Dave.
Yeah, good evening, Simon. Yeah, we start with Douglas, I think, in Regional 2 Northwest at the top of the tree. And they've gone into second place. It's been a fantastic day for them. First of all, they beat visitors Vale of Loon. They beat them 31-8 at Portishee, 7-3 at half-time. And Douglas accelerated away in the second half. Unusually from Douglas, I don't have any scorer information today, so that will keep this a little bit briefer than I expected. However, the big news for them was Vale of Loon were third, Douglas were fourth. So Douglas automatically would go ahead of Vale of Loon. But second place North Ribblesdale lost away at Winnington Park today, which means Douglas are in second place all on their own, which is a fantastic piece of news for them. They also have a game in hand. That game will be away against Burnage. It was the Storm Amy weekend. They were unable to travel. So that game in hand, if Douglas were to win that, they would be within a couple of points of leaders Sandbach. Now, Douglas have already played Sandbach away from home earlier on in the season. They were leading going into the last 10 minutes, and Sandbach just pulled out a couple of tries right at the end. So it's a positive spin for Douglas. Sandbach do have to come to the Isle of Man. Although, to be fair, Douglas have to go at North Ribblesdale as well. So there's a couple of big games coming up in the back end of the season. But for now, at least, Douglas in second place, all on their own. They've got the best defence in the league. I think probably if they're missing anything, it's they haven't quite scored enough bonus points. Leaders Sandbach got 8 bonus points, which you get for scoring 4 tries or more in a game. Douglas only have the 5. But, crucially, they are there in second place, and that game in hand could put them within striking distance of leaders Sandbach and pull them away from the rest of the field as well. So, fantastic result for Douglas today. They'll move onwards and upwards, and hopefully we'll see that game in hand get dotted in onto the fixture list somewhere, and they can come away with 4 or perhaps even 5 points from that one. So, a good result there at Portishee. Everyone will be happy. In counties 3, ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire, not quite the same amount of positivity. Contrasting fortunes today for Vagabonds and Ramsey, who are both in that division and both looking for their first win. Vagabonds next to bottom, Ramsey were bottom going into this weekend. That position hasn't changed, but Vagabonds did pick up some points. They drew 19 all away at Hoylake. All the action happened in the second half. It was a very rare in rugby union scoreless first half. Skipper Dan Bonwick led the way for Vagabonds with 2 tries. Cam Finlay got the 3rd and he kicked 2 conversions as well. It doesn't haul Vagabonds away from the bottom end of the table, but it does distance themselves from Ramsey. The gap now, I think, is 3 points between Vagabonds and Ramsey. But the two play each other on the 29th of November up at the Murrick Park, and that's going to be a cracking match. That is a proper local dogfight, and the local derby, plus the fact they're both in the same league and both chasing the first win, is going to put an awful lot of pressure on the players ahead of that one. It's going to be a belter. For Ramsey today, there was a little less to smile about, though. They lost 52-0 away at Fleetwood. They lost they were trailing 26-0 at half-time, so equal scoring for Fleetwood in both halves. It was always going to be a tricky one. Fleetwood had only won three so far. However, the tail of the tape, when you look at the numbers a little bit closer, was that Fleetwood had three losing bonus points, which means they've only just been edged out by 7 points or less in three matches, which suggests they may just be contenders, just need maybe an extra player or two, and it might make all the difference for them. But unlucky for Ramsey, they weren't expected to win. They did lose 52-0. They now have a week off, and it is third place Burnley, I think, who visit the Murrick Park on the 15th of November. 22nd of November. I was at Vagabonds Ladies. They just lost out in a thriller of a game at Bella Fletcher. Winnington Park raced into a 22-0 lead in women's NC2 North-South division. And the writing appeared to be on the wall for Vaggers, but the second half fight back saw them just lose out 34-29. Winnington Park fullback Charlie Hignett, the star of the show, she ran in a hat trick of tries. The opening blast from Winnington Park came early on in the first half. Hignett ran in two of her three, and there were also scores from prop Thea Bro and also centre Jen Williams. And Hignett showed that she was an all-rounder because she added a conversion too. Vaggers hit back, though, just before half-time. They were trailing 22-5 at the break after Freya Crowe went in. I think she's scored now in every game so far for Vagabonds, so she's really showing her worth this season. In the second half, it was Ros McNair finished off a Leona McGovern break wide on the left-hand side. That dragged Vagabonds even closer. Then, unfortunately, Charlie Hignett picked off her hat-trick, 65-metre run for her, and that pushed the scoreline out to 29-10. And it didn't look like it was going to go Vagger's way at all, but so all of a sudden, they were back in it. Freya Crowe went in for her second, Ros McNair went in for her second, and with a couple of Sammy McDonald conversions, it was 29-24, and Winnington Park was starting to show the cracks. The players had a little bit of an argument with each other, the coaches were getting frustrated on the touchline. Marvellous to watch as the opposition fall apart, but unfortunately, it wasn't to be. They managed to pull themselves together. They hit back just about 10 minutes to go, and Jess Lewis scored wide on the right for Winnington Park. That pushed the score out to 34-24. Maylin Campbell pulled one back for Vagabonds with just under 10 minutes to go, but they couldn't get over the line again. And that was pretty frustrating for Vagabonds. They thought they'd almost done enough and wasn't quite there. But I think beforehand, someone had predicted it was going to be a close game, and that's exactly what it was. And finally, we've got the Hartford Homes Bank Shield. I've got no details at all from this one other than Douglas Celts beat Western Vikings 42-12. And on the card, the bonus game was a friendly between Southern Nomads and Vale of Loon 3rd 15. Vale brought over quite a big touring party, as they traditionally do. The Vale of Loon are based in Lancaster and are very handy for the Hessian boat. Vale of Loon brought over a big squad. They played a friendly against Southern Nomads and Southern Nomads won 47-31. And I do have some scorer information from Southern Nomads. Mikey Crane with two tries, Finn McGregor with two, George Collister, Harry Brereton and Richard Seed also with tries, and Zach Hand, the youngster, converted six out of those. So well played to Zach Hand, well played to Southern Nomads. And that was a curtain raiser at Portishead. It kicked off very early at 12 o'clock. So they've all had a massive fill of rugby down there at the Quarterbridge Base Club.
Manx Radio Sport.
Thanks so much to Dave Christian for the action from today's rugby. And finally, we move on to hockey. Ben Cunningham has eventually joined me in the studio. You've had a busy day today, haven't you, Ben?
Yeah, I've been to the north of the island and then I've come back to the capital to then play. Yeah, it's been a full-on day. And yeah, just trying to get through all these messages, but hopefully we've got enough to give us some good results.
Okay, let's start out in the Mixed Premier League then with the first of three early games in the Mixed Premier League. Vikings A6, Derby game, Vikings B0.
Yeah, Vikings A just missed the cut in this league split, and so they're playing in the bottom half, Vikings A. Against their Vikings B team, you would have favoured the A team to come out on top, and they have done today. Andy Whiting with two, John Verrills with one, Archie Cayley with one, Macklin Wilson with one, and Kim Carney with one.
A tight game in the West of the Island between Backers A and Harlequins A. Backers A just nicking it though, 3-2.
Yeah, and Andy Whiting, the star of the show for Backers A, with a hat-trick there. George Ratcliffe with one, and Alfie Swales with one. But a really tight game there, giving the league leaders a very good run for their money.
And Castledown Southerners 1, Backers B5.
Yeah, not the day for Southerners. Of course, they need to get points on the board pretty soon, and they've got a big game coming up soon against Vikings B, and if they can't get anything out of that, unfortunately, they will be relegated. For Castledown Southerners, it was Andrew and Stanley, and then for Backers B, it was Sophie Hudson with two, Carl Moore with one, Will Wiseman with one, and Doug Quayle with one.
Okay, the afternoon game, or the later afternoon game at QE2, saw Valkyries A take on Castletown Celts. Again, another tight game, but Valkyries A just coming out on top 3-2.
Yeah, great end-to-end game from what I've heard from both captains. Ethan Adams with two and Oscar Lace with one for Valkyries A. And then Castletown Celts goal scorers were Tom Burrows and George Powell. One thing to note I didn't mention there, the Castletown Southerners Backers B game, one of the umpires, Tim Lehman, that was his second game of the day. We have had our issues this weekend as well with umpires, as we call them. We don't call them referees. So a few people have stepped in at short notice, and there's a few other games we're going to give a few people a big shout out to.
Right, so because obviously the games don't get played without those umpires there. Move on to Mixed Division 1 and a big win for Backers C against Valkyries C, 8-1.
Yeah, and the Backers C will remain top, and we will say why in a very short while when we go through the other results. For Backers C, it was Sophie Partington with three goals, showing her dad how to score. Craig Leese with two, Jack Grimbley with one, and Nick Wilson with one. And then the consolation for Valkyries C was Amy Speed.
Okay, one I was missing earlier on in the classifiers results, so thank you for filling in the blanks on this, Ben. Vikings C1, Ramsey A4.
Yeah, we've literally just got that score come through. I'm just a bit behind chasing scores up. So, yeah, Ramsey A's goal scorers were Jordan Parkinson with two, Christina Kameen with one, and Edward Fields with one. We don't have the Vikings C goal scorer, so 166177 or the same on WhatsApp.
Okay, last game in Mixed Division 1, so Harlequins B run out 5-3 winners against Valkyries B.
Yeah, and Valkyries B, if they could have won this, could have kept the pressure on Backers C at the top of the league, and it's not happened for them today. Tom Hurd with four goals, Ewan Wiley with one for Harlequins B, and then for Valkyries B, it was Rob Condor and Ollie Webster with two goals.
Moving on to Mixed Division 2 and a big win for Vikings D in the first of two early games here as they beat Ramsey Ravens 10-0.
Yeah, commanding victory there for Vikings D. They've been scoring plenty of goals and they've got plenty of strength going forward. Danny Kane with five goals, Ian Perry with two, Becky O'Brien with one, and Kirsty Archers with two.
Okay, Backers Mixed Colts took on Castletown Cosney at Castle Rushen, but 7-1 winners were Backers Mixed Colts this afternoon.
Yeah, and that doesn't help Cosney because they're down the bottom of the league and they need to get points on the board. Otherwise, they could be in the relegation battle very shortly. We have the Backers Colts goal scorers, and they are Abs Maddox with three, Elena Wiseman with two. She is a former Castletown player, so two goals against her former club. Miles Stevens and Amara Corkill for Backers Colts, and then for Castletown Cosney, the consolation goal from Adam Parker. And some breaking news just coming in, one of our island teams who are currently playing at the moment, it's looking good for them. They are currently 5-1 up. Ryan Cartwright with two goals and Christopher Crompton Harvey with two goals as well. We are just getting confirmation on the other goal scorer. Oh, there we go. It's Theo Roberts now 6-1. So they're on course for victory.
Great, thank you very much, Ben. And we move on to the final game in Mixed Division 2. It was a Castletown derby. Camag's 3-1 winners against Castletown Cushags.
Not as close as last time. I umpired the first round when they played each other, and Camag's only just took the victory with the last touch of the game. I think you were on that weekend when it happened. Ashton Flick for Castletown Cushags, and then for Castletown Camag's, Faith Watterson. And Fir McGatchy, she's on fire at the minute, scoring plenty of goals. Top goal scorer in this league at the moment with 2 goals.
OK, Mixed Division 3, Castletown Carrick, Ramsey Rookies at Ramsey Grammar School, 2-1 win for Ramsey Rookies.
And literally, they played each other last week and it was the other way around. Castletown Carrick won 2-1, so Rookies have got one back there. And a big thank you to Kenny Valerga from Castletown Carrick. This was a game that I got appointed to at 10:30 last night. They were searching high and low, and Kenny has thanked me with great words and everything, just saying how grateful he was that I made the trip to Ramsey to get their game to go ahead today. Castletown Carrick goal scorer was Henny Cumman, and Rookies goal scorer was Sylvia Lincoln and Hannah Wild.
OK, Mixed Division 3, we continue there. Valkyries D 3, Harlequins C 0.
Yeah, and Valkyries D remain top of the league. Ryan Thomas with 1, Mark Perryman with 1, and Poppy Kelly with 1.
And final game in Mixed Division 3, Harlequins D 3, Vikings E 0.
Yeah, great result there for Harlequins D. This is the game I've just come from. I was pulled up into the ranks today to play. It was a great game to be a part of, and I will admit, yes, James, you had a very good game and goal today. You just kept stopping me from getting it into the back of the net today. But a 5-star performance and goal for Vikings E there. So full marks there. And as I promised, I would give you a shout out. Zach Barlow with 1, Lucas Room with 1. And Callum Leslie with 1.
And we move on to the Mixed Under-15s League. Now, there was a postponement to the game between Castletown Sabres and Backers that was due to be played this afternoon. That's due to the Ireland team being away,
yes,
as we just
so,
mentioned.
A number of players were missing from both camps. So by the rules, it's allowed to be postponed and rearranged. So that is going to be postponed and rearranged. There is another fixture as well that isn't on the list. That's Backers Mixed Books against Backers D. That was due to take place again today for the same reason as well, due to the Ireland teams being away. That's getting rearranged to next weekend because neither team are in the cup, plate or bowl next weekend, so there is plenty of opportunity for them to rearrange and play next weekend.
Okay, two games did get underway in the Mixed Under-15s League, though. First one of the day was Harlequins against Valkyries at King William's College, a 5-1 win for Valkyries.
Yeah, Valkyries looking really good with their Under-15 squad at the minute. I think they are top of the league, and they will be staying top of the league thanks to this result. Rian Mars with 2, William Miller with 1, Bonnie Eels with 1, and Ollie Ryder-Clegg with 1. And the consolation for Harlequins was Lucas Room. So a goal in his junior game and a senior game.
And the final game of the week, Ramsey Rogues and Rascals 0, Castletown Sharks 10.
Yeah, and Ramsey Rogues and Rascals had a lot of younger players making under-15s debut, which was great to hear. Goal scorers galore for Castletown Sharks. I'll take a deep breath for this. Barnaby Fivian with 2. Scarlett Crompton Harvey with 2. Edwards Kinnish with 1. Alfie Fivian with 1. So I think, if I'm right, I'm just trying to work out if I'm right, and I think I am, the coach and manager of this junior squad is father and mother of both Barnaby and Alfie. So that would have been a great moment for them today. Sid Hampton Francis with 1, George Hampton with 1, and Ryan Cardy with 1.
Okay, Ben, thank you very much. I know you've had a busy day, so thank you for coming up and running through those results with us. And any update on the Isle of Man team that are in action? 6-1, I believe it was a couple of minutes ago.
Check my phone. Still 6-1, the latest, and no confirmation on that goal scorer. I forgot to mention as well, in the Harlequins D Vikings E game, Jess Birch as well, another umpire, pulled in at very short notice. I think she was appointed at 11 o'clock last night. So it was a long night, but we got there.
All right, Ben, thank you very much. And great to see so many people giving up their time so those games could go ahead today. It's 9 minutes away from 6 o'clock, 9 minutes away from kickoff at the Bowl. FC Isle of Man taking on Pilkington this evening. Darren Timpson and Tony Meppam bring you full commentary of that here on Manx Radio AM 1368. Manx Radio AM over on DAB as well, if you want to listen in a high quality in the Douglas, Onken and Central Valley area of the Isle of Man. Saturday Sport Classified available for you to listen to very shortly as a podcast over at manxradio.com if you have missed any of that. And Friday Sport Preview returns at 5:30 next weekend for your preview of football, rugby and hockey here on the Isle of Man. I will briefly hand back to Manx Radio Gold, Darren Timpson and Tony Meppam up next with commentary from the Bowl.